Welcome, everybody, to Audio Essentials Lecture 4. This lecture is all about microphones, which we are all using right now at this time. However, hopefully you will learn by the end of this what you are using, and if it is good enough for the audio applications you wish to achieve. Before I get into that, though, I have a couple of things I wanted to go over. It is the beginning of the month, which means those of you who are on payment plans will need to pay sometime this week. I don't have a money drop, but yes, you will need to give your next month's payment because we're in the beginning of the month. So those of you who haven't, pay. Those of you, obviously, who are already paid up front, don't worry about it. These are just for people on payment plans. You guys are fine. So just I'm confirming that so that people don't get confused. We haven't had as many people turn in the cable assignment. And we really want people to try and do that if they can, because it's important that you guys understand what you guys have around and ultimately what you guys are trying to get if you want to improve your setup at all. So it's important with these particular assignments that we give you that you guys understand the fundamentals of what we're trying to teach here. So if you guys haven't done your cables assignment and any of your subsequent assignments from this point forth, please try to do them. Someone had a question?
I don't understand what the cable assignment is. I just heard that you had to tell you what we've got. I mean, they're just cables. I don't quite understand what you want from us.
So what kind
of
cables?
If I could just chip in briefly, if you don't understand an assignment, this goes for anyone, do please contact us. Don't be shy. Don't wait the week and not do it and wonder what you're supposed to be doing. Write to the audio IO list, write to submit audio, which is the instructor's email address, and we will help you out and we'll give you whatever support you need if you're at all stuck on anything.
But basically what kind of cables that you're using for the things that you use. We discussed the different types in the last podcast. So based on the knowledge that you learned from that podcast, what do you think you have lying around for the things that you use with your everyday kind of audio equipment?
How do you know what types they are, though? Because it just goes through the different types. I don't think it mentions how to recognize them.
We describe some of them. Like we describe, for instance, the difference kind of between TS and TRS and TRRS. And we describe how the fingernail kind of gives that away on the connector, if you look at the connector and things like that. And with XLR, that's a very obvious connector because, as I mentioned in the podcast, it has that kind of barrel shape. Or in a study group, I think I mentioned.
Have your three distinct pins in XLR as well.
Mm-hmm.
1/8 inches smaller generally is TRS or TRRS. Quarter could be TS or TRS. RCA is TS. And we talk about in, you know, last week's class, the uses a lot of those cables are to, as it were, and where you may find some of them, and we just wanted people to be able to go through and look at their stuff and do what they had.
That's about all I've got. We have a ton to cover today, so I'll take a couple minutes on questions. So if anyone has a question, speak or forever hold your peace.
No!
All right, cool. We're going to go ahead and start with microphones then, and I'm going to turn this over to Derek so we can talk about microphone types.
All right, so there is, of course, the fact that we're all using microphones right now. We talk into them, some of us sing into them, some of us use them to mic and record instruments or environmental sounds or families or friends or whatever. But no matter what the microphone, there is one common thing that you need to understand about microphones at their fundamental level, and it is that all microphones are transducers. A transducer is simply a way of converting one form of energy into another. So all microphones, as of the early 20th century, convert mechanical energy to electronic energy. Anything that can be picked up acoustically, such as the sound of voices or music or environmental sounds or whatever, can be captured through various means and converted into an electronic signal that can be sent cable into a device called a microphone preamp, which we'll talk about in a bit, to a recorder or to your computer or to what have you. So the first and most basic type of microphone is the dynamic microphone. The dynamic microphone is passive, which means it has no active circuitry in it. It requires no power to operate. It just pretty much exists and is fully functional with no external power supply or power going to it. So a dynamic microphone is basically a speaker in reverse. You have a moving diaphragm, which moves as a result of sound waves hitting it. A magnet behind that, coil of wire. The positioning of that magnet and coil means that as the diaphragm moves, a little tiny bit of signal is generated. As a question.
Yeah, it's actually just a comment, but I've actually used a pair of headphones in a pinch when I needed a microphone really bad. It didn't have good quality, but it did work.
Yep, because you're moving the diaphragm of the headphones with your voice, and that's acting as a microphone, as opposed to the other way, where the signal comes in, that moves the magnet and coil, and thus the diaphragm. So that is exactly a perfect scenario demonstrating how microphones are speakers in reverse. Inversely, if you plug in a dynamic microphone to a source that's generating audio, and you put the microphone to your ear, we'll be able to hear a bit of sound from a dynamic microphone. Is this a good idea? Not really. Does it work? Yes, it does. I've done this as a kid. That's because I thought the idea was weird and fascinating. We see dynamic microphones in a lot of places. We see them in broadcast situations. See them on stage. A lot of live performances. Really, your sort of karaoke-type microphones or dynamics. And can anyone say why we would want dynamic microphones used in a lot of these places? Question.
Yes, actually, I learned about mics at school, so I understand most of the things here. Dynamic microphones are not really sensitive to falls, scratches, even the rain. They can stand almost all weather conditions, as opposed to condenser mic. If it falls, then mostly it is bye-bye my new mic. That's fine.
Pretty much. That's pretty much correct, yes. And we'll get to condensers in a bit. Timmy Tope.
Yeah. The reason why it's sensitive to the environment is just because the directivity pattern is around that 90 degree or around 90 or thereabout, which means it prevents the ambient noise from penetrating into the diaphragm.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah, quick question. I have a Shure SM57 and a Shure SM58. What type of microphones are those? I never knew. I think they're just dynamic mics.
Correct. And speaking of the 58, hang on just a bit. There's going to be parts of this lecture where I'll disappear from time to time. And that's because I am switching out microphones. Welcome to the Shure SM58. This is your stereotypical dynamic microphone. It is very rugged. It is basically everything Christian described. But though about this particular microphone isn't so great. What would you say is missing?
I would say high frequencies are missing a lot.
Okay, that's one observation. Very good, Des.
It only picks up sounds directly in front of it, probably, and not atmospheric around sound.
Part of it. Although I could switch to a condenser that does the same thing. Actually, several of them. But we'll get to condensers in a bit. But that is essentially affirming the fact that, in general, dynamic microphones are less sensitive. They require more force for movement to occur of the diaphragm, and so in the cases of a lot of dynamic microphones, some of the more subtle details are not present in a signal. Would we have a comment?
No, I was just saying the other microphone you switched to is somehow compressed.
Ah, somebody noticed my compression. That's cool. That's just a protection against going and being too loud. Because some of the stuff that I'm going to attempt to do today could go very, very wrong. And if it does, very loud things could happen. And what a compressor does is, well, actually I'm using more of a limiter just as a sneak peek of stuff ahead. It is essentially a device that can turn the volume down way faster than is humanly possible if things get over a certain level. That's a limiter in very brief description. And so, yes, I'm using one of those today! Because,
I'm not going to actually do that exact same thing, but the difference is that if I were to do the exact same thing, I would clip, so.
Yeah, nice, good observation. Good ear. Good ear. Very good ear. But we're getting a little ahead. That has nothing to do with the nature of this mic, though. But, like I said, very good ear.
Although, Derek, the way you kind of talk into that microphone, kind of how it sounds, he did, I think he brought that point up because it's showing a certain something.
It's showing a certain something that we will certainly talk about when we talk about pickup patterns. Just as a
teaser.
Yeah, that. Exactly. But this microphone is plugged into a microphone preamp, which both dynamics and condensers need. A microphone preamp, in its most basic form, is a device that takes the very quiet output of the signal that a microphone sends and boosts it to a level that's loud enough to make our recorders and our computers and our mixers and things like that happy. That is called line level. So you hook your microphone to a microphone preamp, which you can buy or use in your mixer audio interface, should it have one. Most do. And then you can...
Oh, boy!
If you're not careful, do that kind of thing. If you plug a line-level signal into a microphone input, that kind of clipping will happen. If you plug a microphone into a line input, however, this is what you get. I have I've bypassed the mic. Hello? Hello, can you hear me? Audible at all?
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Barely audible, but yes.
Not getting a gain staging yet. We'll get there, though.
And Jess is still clipping.
Yeah, she is. All right, so preamp on. There we go. Now, you can do what Jessica was doing. You can have your preamp too loud. You can do exactly what... Do that again. You were doing that, Jessica. Do that again.
Do what? Sorry.
There you go. Now, notice two things about Jessica. What are we hearing about Jessica right now?
Christian, what are you noticing?
I'm noticing first distortion and second thing, some kind of noise. So, I mean, audio equipment noise. You know what I mean? If your preamp or whatever is turned loud.
Okay, actually, let's do this a little bit better. So now, what do you really notice? So the distortion is correct, but what do you notice about the distortion? Clement and Jason.
Sounds like your gain might be up really high, but because you don't have a preamp or your preamp's turned off, maybe, the gain has nowhere to go, so it's hitting the
below,
ceiling and it's clipping.
So close, so close.
I was just going to notice that not only do you sound distorted, but you're quiet.
Ding, lots of dings.
Ding, 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 ding.
Lots of dings.
I thought I just said that.
The critical difference here is that her preamp is very loud. Her preamp is much too loud. But the output of the preamp is too quiet. So the preamp does exist.
Yeah, the preamp is very, very, very active right now. If I were to turn my mic channel up, it would really hurt your ears.
Please don't.
I don't think she will. So we're getting into a phenomenon now called gain staging. And gain staging is figuring out what parts of your setup should be loud and which parts should not be loud. If your microphone preamp is too loud, clip. But turning that signal from your preamp down in your software or on the channel in your mixer will not solve the clippy problem. Prove this. I'm going to go from this Shure SM58 to a condenser microphone. I am not going to touch the volume of the preamp. I'm just going to make the switch and be right back. In the meantime, if there are any other questions or comments, we're fielding those.
Francois had a question.
How does a mic preamp look like?
The problem with that is that there are dedicated preamps that all look different, and then some of them are kind of integrated into your mixer or your interface. So what I'm using, for instance, is an interface. It's a big box with knobs, and that has two mic preamps on it. So a preamp could be in any number of things. Clement.
I was going to ask kind of a similar thing to Francois, is that with preamps, if you were to get an interface or a mixing board, are they usually integrated into the mic inputs?
Yes. A lot of your interfaces have that. They have kind of preamps on them. They're really nice.
Yeah.
Some of them are not so nice.
I don't have an interface yet, but I'm just saying that, so I'm wondering, an actual physical preamp is only needed if you're going direct to something, right?
Yeah. Or if you're trying to bypass the preamps that you have by using a direct mic preamp. And they do have dedicated
yes.
mic preamps.
Okay, so this is... the condenser microphone. Now, what are you noticing without me having to changing the volume or anything between the dynamic and this condenser microphone?
You're about a billion times louder.
Uh-huh.
And you're coming very close to clipping.
That is correct. Aren't you glad I have that limiter?
Yes, I am. Could you please turn that back on?
Now, here's the thing about this condenser microphone. I am about 2 feet away from it. If I were close to it, can you imagine how much louder that would be?
Yes.
Ow.
That is a bigger mic.
We have a few questions, by the way. We have Damien had a question.
Okay.
When we talk about preamps on in a field recorder or whatever, I don't know, is it the equipment itself that causes the hiss in a recording, or would it be the preamp?
Both. Again, that depends on the gain staging. Some preamps are very noisy, some recorders are very noisy. Sometimes it's both, and it's figuring out where the hiss is coming from.
Christian had a question.
And Christian's
that.
Question, yes.
And then Monica.
Is it sometimes the case that preamps maybe don't catch the sound well, and if there is high quality microphone, the sound is still very low quality, kind of misses it.
It sure can.
Because I didn't learn it anywhere, but I figured it myself, because I plugged, for example, one of my microphones into my sound card, where it had its full quality, and there I put it into another sound card, where it swallowed literally half of the audio spectrum.
Yep, some preamps are pretty nasty, and they just cannot boost the microphone well without generating a lot of noise, a lot of hiss, or a lot of hum in some cases. Now, I just made one adjustment. What did I do?
When you get the chance, Derek, Monica, and...
Yes, Monica, go ahead.
I noticed that when you were using the condenser mic, you could hear more of the mic moving, and you can hear your S's were different.
That's correct. I'm still using the condenser, but the one adjustment that I made was that I turned it way down. I turned the preamp down, and I'm closer to it. But as you pointed out, because I'm no longer clipping the preamp, I'm no longer on the edge of being too loud. As you pointed out, though, it is much more sensitive to S's and T's and P's and things. There are ways to prevent that, but if I actually take the... We'll talk about pop shields and things, and I take the low cut off of this, and I pop my P's. Hello, P's and pops. Can you hear that?
Yep.
If I take this compression away and I pop my P's, now it's perhaps really... possible to hear that in a much more precisely popular pair.
You're starting to clip.
Definitely.
Yes. So popping peas with a condenser is quite possible, and you have to be quite careful. See, the F even was affected. The term that describes the popping of peas and Fs and Ts and things is called plosives. When you pop, you generate a plosive. So with condenser microphones, there are some various accessories that you use with them to mitigate some of these problems. We'll talk about microphone accessories all in one lump sum, because we're trying to sort of keep this sort of compartmentalized.
Or if you're me, because you sometimes pop Fs, and I make silly little jokes, I called it a flosive one day.
But one thing you can do if you're using a particularly poptastic microphone, I'm going to put my compression back on. There we go. Is that, wow, that's really squished. That's still quite loud. Turn that down even more. Bah! Okay. Right. Now. Okay, that's good. Is you can actually put the microphone to the side of your cheek so your air goes across the microphone and not into it. So you can still be very close, but you have less of a chance of popping your P's, F's, T's, and so on, because your air goes across, not in to the mic. But condenser microphones to work require phantom power. Phantom power is 48 volts and is sent by your mixer or by your preamp. Well, actually, to be more accurate, the mixers, the interfaces, and so on have mic preamps built in them. So the preamp sends the phantom power to your condenser microphone. Do we have a question?
We do, if it's my turn.
Yes, Gary.
With the thing that you're talking about with the microphone, how much of that has to do with the speaker that you're listening to it over? For example, when I do something and listen on my computer speakers, it sounds fine. when it goes over to my iPhone, it sounds terrible.
We could probably do a separate section on monitoring and things like that, and we'll probably talk about that more when we actually get into editing audio.
Okay.
Voice to check your mixes and your edits to make sure they sound good on a lot of different things.
Let me ask one more question then. Is there any way I can tell when I'm listening through the speaker or even my earphones, can I tell there that it's going to be bad someplace else?
Yes, if you have accurate headphones or accurate speakers, then you'll be able to hear all of the problems in your audio and can fix it.
Okay.
At least take steps to fixing it.
Before Adam asks his question, just real quick, guys, for those who are more scientifically inclined, I put a link in the chat that links to a Wikipedia article that talks all about phantom power and what it actually is.
Now, condenser microphones need phantom power because
You forgot Adam's question.
Yeah, I think he was just starting to get to it. I was just going to ask, how are condenser mics made and how do they work?
Oh, okay, cool.
So phantom power is required for a condenser microphone because although the principle is the same as a dynamic microphone, mechanical to electrical energy, the way that happens is a little bit differently. So as opposed to a diaphragm, a coil, and a magnet, what you have in a condenser are two metal plates very close to each other. It forms a capacitor. So you'll read in some places people talking about capacitor microphones. That's another name for a condenser microphone, basically.
In fact, a lot of the older engineers will still call them capacitor microphones.
Now, there's a constant charge between these two plates. So that, thus the capacitor. The two plates together are so close that the charge can be conducted from one to the other. We talk about how certain things conduct electricity. Well, gold is a conductor, and so most of the plating in these microphones is gold-plated aluminum. So the back plate, which gets the charge from the phantom power, is so close to the front plate that the charge bounces from it to the front plate. So you have this constant charge that's going from the back to the front. But when a condenser/capacitor microphone picks up audio, that changes the distance between those two plates. And that change of distance changes the amount of electricity that is conducted between the two plates and is, therefore, which generates the electronic signal. Does that make sense, Adam?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I was just going to ask, aren't those babies pretty expensive? And if so, what is the cheapest condenser mic bought? I mean, what's an average price for a cheapo?
I have a condenser microphone that's $30 over here if you want to hear it. I can totally provide this.
Now, while he looks for that, there are a couple of cheaper condenser mics that are actually not bad. Well, one in particular. I mean, it's not like $25. It's probably more along the lines of 50 to 60, maybe a little bit more, but it's not a bad microphone. It's one of the ones we tend to recommend, at least I do, to a lot of people who don't have one if they really want a condenser. And it's called the Audio-Technica ATR-2500.
It's a dynamic.
That's 21.
Ah, the 25 is the... Okay, so this is the $30 condenser microphone. So this is what you can get for $30 if you're cool and look around. I wouldn't recommend it, but it demonstrates a disadvantage of condenser microphones if you're not careful. And I'm going to turn this up, and this is a very quiet room, but tell me what you hear when I turn this up.
You're a computer fan.
Not just that, but... Christian.
I also hear maybe the noise of the microphone, the noise of phantom power.
Pretty much. Adam?
Yeah, it sounds like some harmonics going on back there.
So you're both right. Because we've moved into an area dealing with active electronics, active circuitry, noise within the microphone is generated. So now we have two sources of noise that could potentially be a factor. We have noise from the microphone preamp that could possibly exist, and we also have noise from the microphone that could potentially exist. Is this a problem under a lot of conditions, under a lot of circumstances? With good condenser microphones, it's usually not the case. Microphones like the CAD M177, which I was speaking into, And especially with condenser microphones like the Rode NT1, they have very little what's called self-noise. The noise within the microphone is very low. And they're very loud. They're very hot output. So you'll get very little noise from your microphone preamp because it will not have to work as hard. But this microphone is a different type of condenser. So we talked about regular standard condenser microphones. This microphone is very, very small. Tiny little thing. It's also very resonant. It's not flat at all. But this is called an electret condenser. Now, an electret condenser works the same way, but on a much smaller scale because the back plate, hang on just a second, Christian. The back plate of an electret condenser is made out of material and is such that it is permanently charged. And so because of that, same properties of a condenser microphone, except for the fact that you need much less power to drive it. You can get away with an electret, depending on the way it's made, anywhere from 3 to 12 volts. Generally, they like 12, if they can have it, if they can get that. They respond the best, they have the best signal-to-noise ratio, and so on. Can I get rid of this $30 microphone?
Please. Yes, get rid of the $30 microphone. The brain breaker on some of this with the electrets, because as Derek said, they go from 3 to 12. Most of your USB ones are electrets, and they use 5 volts. And the reason they use 5 volts is because USB on a computer provides 5 volts to any device that it connects to. So your USB microphones take 5 volts of power. Now, some of them have multiple sources, and so they have what are transformers that convert the voltages.
And step them up to 12.
Yes.
And they do that, and we're not going to get into why or how, because that's more of your sort of scientific physics type stuff, more than audio. But you can convert amps to volts, and in doing that, step the amount of voltage up. And that's how that works, in brief. That's the very, very brief reason why that works.
Clement, I had a question.
I think Christian actually had one first.
Yes.
I want to say that we also learned at school that there are electrets which are used as a Bluetooth mics, which have a battery in them, which powers them. So they don't need an external power at all.
Well, yeah, they do. That external power is the battery. The battery generates the type of power necessary to run an electret condenser microphone. And that power, which, like we had said, goes anywhere from 3 to 12 volts, is called plug-in power. So to review power requirements, a dynamic microphone requires no power. A traditional condenser microphone requires 48 volts. And electret condensers require 3 to 12 volts. And that power is called plug-in power.
Yeah, don't most PA systems have like a you know, for a standard mic plug-in, have a switch that you can turn on and off between a mic requiring phantom power and one that doesn't require that?
That's right. That's part of the mic preamp design. And you want to make sure that you, when you're adjusting phantom power, when you're turning it on or off, have your microphone channel all the way down, generally. Because as the microphone gets its power or loses power, all kinds of noises could be generated. This CAD M177 is particularly entertaining when it loses phantom power because...
That still just makes me smile every time I hear that
noise. You didn't have to step on it.
Now, did you hear what happened when I came back for a second before the thing got up to power again? Adam?
Was that the capacitor charging and discharging?
It was.
Mm-hmm.
Notice how it popped really loud when I came back?
And that particular microphone's like a power hog, so it does neat little noises like that.
It does. Now we can go to another condenser. This one is about $60. It is a CAD C195.
Oh, I hate that thing.
And this is what it sounds like. Jessica hates this microphone because it's very bright. It is very good for certain things, but it is very bright on a lot of things, and that can be very unpleasant if you're not careful. It also, because though it can be made to sound quite good if you turn the highs down, also because it's an electret, although it's in a handheld, it's a handheld mic, but it's still an electret condenser mic. Who remembers the problem with electret condensers if you're not careful?
Overtones.
Not only that, but what else? I'm really loud, by the way. Hear all that noise? That noise is generated by this condenser microphone. That's the... just the way these things work. That's the nature of condensers. And so it doesn't matter how good the mic preamp is if the microphone is noisy. Jason?
When you're plugging in these Electret condenser microphones, how does the... I'm of course making assumptions that you're plugging into your mixer. How does it know what kind of power to provide to it? Because normally it's 48 volts.
This microphone has a step-down transformer in it. So it takes the 48 volts and it's like, ooh, that's too much. So we're just going to like make some of that go away and feed what's left of it into the mic. That's how this particular mic works. This is the CAD C195 handheld mic. Most condensers, most studio condensers, are what's called side address, which means that they're very large-shaped microphones, which are known as also side address. So you talk not into the end of the microphone, but in the side of the microphone.
Speaking of side address, this might be better for later, I'm not sure, but earlier when Jason and I both mentioned we were using blue mics, Derek kind of went, and I'm kind of curious to know a little bit more. Yeah, I know, you guys both did. And I'm kind of curious to know why. And since we were talking about condenser mics, I figured it'd be a good time to bring it up.
Probably a later thing, because of the pickup pattern thing, you want to wait on that answer.
Ah, okay. Okay.
No. It actually is appropriate. It's appropriate. And the reason it's appropriate is because not only do we run into situations of noise with condenser microphones, but we can run into an issue of where they are more sensitive than is ideal. Now, why would that be bad? You know, the more detail, the better. Yes? Yes? Isn't that awesome? Yes? No? Perhaps?
Until you do that, it is.
Yeah. Or what about the sound of a tambourine? Can you imagine this mic on something with a tambourine? I have one somewhere.
The high frequencies would be way too piercing because of the sensitivity
of the mic. Yes. Isn't that lovely? Didn't that just?
Oh my god! And you weren't even that close to it, and it was already like you could hear it. Like.
Yep. And so that means that you can actually overdrive the microphone itself. If I turn this way down, turn the preamp way down, so you know we're not going to overdrive the preamp. And I
hello.
Okay.
Wow. Then it clips.
Monica.
It still sounds really muffled.
Well, yeah, it does.
It sounds like a can.
Yep, it does. It's generating all that distortion. Hello, this is me overloading this microphone by being way too close to it.
See, we have the quiet clippy problem again.
Kind of like this?
Sort of, but you're loud, so not really.
Yay! Adam?
All right, I have three related questions, very quick, and I'm going to test your memory to see if you can answer them all in order. But question one, as far as sensitivity goes, we have our dynamic mics, condensers, and then the electric, I think. You can confirm that or not. And then the second part is, can you spell electric for me? And the third part is, after we've all turned in our assignments later on, can you guys give us a gear recommendation list of stuff that might be cool that we might check out?
Oh boy, Derek and I will have fun with that third question. I'll let Derek answer the other two because he's better at that. But the one thing I will say about the gear stuff, even the stuff that we recommend, even though we recommend them, do your own research, even if we recommend them. And be careful when you start buying things, because then you enter the never-ending hole of wanting audio gear.
I'm already there.
You kidding me? I've had that problem since I was born.
Oh, an Electret is spelled E-L-E-C-T-R-E-T.
Gear acquisition syndrome. All right. So, now I'm on another microphone. Would you guess dynamic or condenser?
Condenser.
Maybe dynamic.
Correct. This is a Sennheiser E835, and this is the same microphone Jessica has.
Do you have it down your throat, though?
Nope. It's about 5 inches away. If I did, if I actually used it the way it's supposed to be used, it's this. It has a thing that is a problem with this particular pickup pattern called proximity effect, but we'll get to pickup patterns in a bit. But to break this lecture up into parts between microphone types, and I know we haven't talked about ribbons or contact mics or anything like that. That's study group. The important things that you guys get from this main class are the differences between dynamics and condensers and pickup patterns. It doesn't sound, and plus preamps and gain staging, and that's a lot to swallow in one go.
And you notice, because he's using the same mic as me, how it sounds very different on me than it does on Derek.
Monica?
Why is that?
Just because of the sensitivity of the and the design of the microphone, really.
There's a couple of factors, actually. I don't think yours has a pop sock on it. Mine does at the moment. If it didn't, it would sound more like this, or like this.
So, now we theoretically match, but as you can... was there anything satisfactory in the CAD track on the project you did when you were over here? No?
I just have, like, I have a little bit of me talking about what it is, or what I'm talking in. I can use that, I suppose.
Yeah, that'd be good, because we have, as a comparison between dynamic and condenser, we actually, we have a recording of Jessica on the CAD M177, just to show you the difference that occurs with her voice on that microphone. And we had a question from...
That was Adam here. Just a quick comment and question. So far, the mic you're using the best, in my opinion, is the SM58. Hands down, just in my opinion. I know you're trying to simulate some noise with the other ones, but that's comment. And quick question is, Jessica, what are you using? Yours sounds pretty good and natural. I like that sound.
She's using the Sennheiser as well, actually. Dynamics can be sensitive to a point, but to get them that way, they have to be designed for such things, and they have to be fed by a lot of preamp gain. I'm just moving mics and stands around and things, guys.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry, guys. I thought I was talking the whole time. Wow. So, the condenser.
Okay. This is a CAD M177. I have an affinity for this microphone.
I have a cold, so I sound different.
Or at least so I have found out in the past 4 days or something.
So, you can kind of tell the S is like, it's a brighter tone on me when I'm on that condenser microphone as opposed to this dynamic microphone.
Clement,
from what I'm observing right now, would it be appropriate to say that a very, very, very general rule of thumb is that condensers generally have more high-end than dynamics do? More high frequencies?
Well, it depends. So is this a dynamic or a condenser that I'm speaking into right now?
It sounds like a condenser, but I could be wrong.
Well, this is such a trick question.
That's mean.
It is mean. Well, Adam mentioned Shure microphones again, so I thought I would demonstrate this one. Adam?
I think it's probably a Shure or some type of a dynamic mic that's pretty preamped up.
That is totally correct. This is the Shure SM7B.
That's evil.
That is a very, very trick question. That is not cool. So that microphone, according to Derek anyway, is supposed to at least the most accurately reflect one's voice. There's not a lot of coloration with that particular microphone.
Do people understand what we mean by coloration?
No.
Coloration is essentially the frequencies or the lack thereof or the way, the kind of tones that are kind of put over someone's voice just because of how the microphone sounds or is made.
It's the effect of a non-linear frequency response. So if your microphone or speaker isn't flat, then it's going to boost some frequencies, it's going to cut some frequencies. It is going to change the sound coming into it in the case of a microphone or out of it in the case of a speaker. And we call that coloration because it might sound... Well, it's kind of interesting because we call it coloration when we talk about it like that. The sound is colored because it's been influenced by the stuff it's going through. But then we say it makes it sound brighter because the high end's boosted, or warmer if the low end's boosted. Or sometimes we say things have a cold sound as well. So we kind of intermix, we mix our metaphors in sound. But basically, when you have a thing that isn't flat, it colours your sound by boosting or cutting frequencies in ways perhaps sometimes you want, and ways that somehow you don't want. This microphone colours me tremendously. It boosts my kind of mids a lot and makes me sound very kind of nasal and very kind of piercing.
Microphone is also an electret condenser microphone.
We have a few questions. We have Monica, Christian, and Damien, and then we should go into Woodstock, probably, because we gotta...
I was going to ask Justin about his mic, because he did answer that part, because he sounded a little bit like he had a cold, and then you could hear like a little noise kind of when he was speaking a little. I call it air, but it's probably not what it is.
Air is actually a lot higher. Air is around the sort of 12 to 15 kilohertz range in the audio world, sort of around the frequency of television monitors and stuff, and it gives sparkle and shimmer. The great thing about this microphone is that the effect on my voice is deliberate. They built it to sound like this. They market it as having a crisp sound ideal for gamers. And the reason that is goes back to masking. Because when you're playing a game and you're shooting lots of monsters and everything screaming at you and the music's blaring and the bass is rumbling and you're talking to your friends in a multiplayer game environment, you want to be able to hear what the person you're talking to is saying above all that noise. Heal me, help me, help me! If you can't hear that, it's no good. So they boost the range where the ear is most sensitive, where vocals have most kind of presence to the max, and make me sound horrible in any other environment but gaming.
Christian?
It's maybe a little bit off topic, but I was at a conference in one town in Serbia. The town is called Novi Sad, and the conference was about sound. And they said that they made a condenser graphene microphone, so graphene is, they say, material of the future. And they say that graphene membranes should pick up all frequencies, so their frequency pattern would be a flat, a straight line. I wanted to say I am for it, but also I'm a bit against it, because I think if you have a perfect mic, you would also catch some unwanted noise, and simply it wouldn't sound natural.
Well, that's a fair assumption. They do make microphones now that are theoretically flat. They are electret condensers with step-down transformers, generally, and are known as measurement microphones. You're not really supposed to use them for vocals or any sort of critical recording, because they're noisy. But they are flat. I happen to have one. I use it for impulse response gathering and room calibration and things. The measurement microphone sounds like this, which you'll hear in a bit.
Damien?
I have two questions. Going back to what was saying before about the source of any hiss noise. Firstly, how can you hear where that is coming from? Secondly, if you wanted to record something very, very quiet and be able to turn the volume up on that, would you use a condenser, or what kind of mic could you use for that?
Ideally, there we are, you would use a condenser, and that would give you lots and lots and lots of volume and lots of detail. Now, here's a problem with this particular mic. Again, what are we running into with this particular microphone? It's flat. It's a measurement microphone. They built it to be flat. They did not necessarily build it to be clean. Hear that hiss in the background? Hear it?
I can hear that hiss and some kind of tone.
That's probably the computer. Very sensitive microphone. And the computer is across the room from this microphone.
The thing to also keep in mind, kind of going back to preamps, because he talked about the hissing and recording things too quiet. If you record something too quiet and you normalize it or you turn it up, because it's too quiet, you'll get all the hiss from your preamp. So you want to be careful how quiet you're recording something.
What if something is very quiet and you can't turn the volume up on that sound as you're recording it?
I would pick, what I tend to do, because I sometimes record really quiet things like on my Olympus. So what I tend to do is I tend to record kind of louder for really quiet things and then normalize it. But we'll talk about more about normalizing later for those who don't know what that is.
Another thing to consider, guys, is the fact that you can buy very sensitive and very clean large diaphragm and electret condenser microphones. You can do this easily, just not necessarily economically. So something like the Rode M5 electret condensers are pretty clean. What else is clean that's good? If you want to have a setup that's far less portable, the NT1 is very clean, very sensitive, and very quiet in terms of noise floor. Which basically means that if you have a Rode NT1, you will get very little noise from your preamp because it's a very loud output. You will pick up all kinds of things that you may not want to pick up, necessarily. I love the sound of that microphone, but you have to be in a very controlled environment to use it. Otherwise, forget it. Not happening. Jin.
I guess that some microphones are picking up some radio waves, because at school, we once recorded some singing, and I did it. We were in a studio room, so in controlled conditions. It wasn't ideal, but it was kind of improvised. And we didn't hear any music. But after the recording, we heard how it picked up some radio, but the radio wasn't really audible. So I ask you, do you maybe know?
Okay, guys, let's think about it. Let's think about it. Think about the types of microphones, dynamic versus condenser, and how they work. So which type do you guys think would more than likely inadvertently find itself acting like a radio antenna? Clement?
Dynamic mics?
Why? I'm asking why, not because you're right or wrong, just so that I can see what your understanding is.
Because the assuming it's relatively close to the radio or picking up, it has something to do with the magnet in the mic, I would think. And the fact that if the radio is on but not necessarily audible, depending on where the mic is, the diaphragm might still be being moved around.
Adam, what
What's
are
your
thoughts?
Answer, Adam?
My guess is the active. Why am I forgetting the name of the darn thing? We're talking about it all day. The condenser mic, because they're active electronics in the thing, and it's amplifying any radio frequencies received by the mic.
Thought?
Timmy Tope had a thought.
The dynamic would be very okay.
Well, dynamic.
Dynamic.
Yep.
I think condenser, exactly because of active electronics. And I think that... I'm really not sure, but I think that condenser mics, some of them produce a small electric field around them. At least I felt it on my skin by some mics.
That's a grounding issue. That's not good. If it's doing that, there's some serious grounding and electrical problems that are beyond the scope of this lecture that would need to get addressed. Yikes. The answer is a dynamic mic. So, do you guys know how an antenna works? Yeah, an antenna in its simplest form is just a coil of wire that's wound in such a way that it will pick up and resonate frequencies. So if it just so happens that if the coil that makes up part of the dynamic microphone happens to pick up or is resonant by one of the harmonics of an FM station, cable is going to get those harmonics along with your voice, and that whole deal is going to be fed into the mic preamp, and you're going to hear music in your microphone with the active circuitry in the condenser that generally provides resistance to such things.
That's interesting you said that, because I said condenser, but because they were more sensitive, and that's what they were picking up, and even though you may not have heard it, it might have been picked up because of how sensitive the condenser is compared to the dynamic microphone. Question.
Well, I know that I have plenty of I've been in plenty of places where dynamics will pick up FM stations, but in the same places I've never seen one of my condensers do it.
But what about other types of electromagnetic interference like mobile phones and so on? I know that I've been around systems that have picked that up.
Oh yeah, but that will happen if the shielding is poor on anything. I've seen guitar pickups pick up cell phones, which is really a brilliant idea if you have one of those guitar-to-phone interfaces and it's your phone and it's doing phone things, and we'll just not. Those are bad, generally.
So we're going to break this up because we got to move along, but Derek has a cute little clip to kind of show you the usefulness of dynamic microphones, because one thing we forgot to cover about, well, we covered it but didn't, about condensers. So if a condenser is active and power is going through it, yes, what would happen if a condenser got wet?
It would, maybe you would get an electric shock, or nevertheless, if you wouldn't get the shock, it would die.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Now, I love various things, and one of the things that I think was a very fascinating event was Woodstock in 1969, that rock festival. In fact, it was Woodstock where the sort of rough design of the SM58 was used all over the place. For those who don't know, it's basically a big rock festival that was held on a hog farm. So the whole thing was outdoors. The whole thing was like, I think, 3 or 4 days long. Lots of music, lots of things associated with the 60s. The whole thing got recorded, including a storm that blew through. This wasn't just a couple of raindrops. No, this was a pretty epic storm. And I have a clip of it just to show you a couple of things. And let's see how many things you hear in parts of this demo that deal with shielding and microphones and things like that. This is put together from different perspectives. I didn't do this. I was given it. Can you guys hear that well?
Yes.
While we switch over. It looks like we're gonna get a little bit of rain, so you better cover up. If it does, and if we should have any slight power problem, just cool it out. We'll sit here with you.
So what all do you guys hear?
All these people on the towers. All of you up in the towers, please come down. You're making it very, very dangerous. All right, everybody, just sit down. Wrap yourself up. We're going to have to ride it out. Hold on to your neighbor, man.
Hear the wind?
Please come down off those towers. If it does rain, it'll be slippery and dangerous. Please come down.
They're talking about speaker and light towers. People were climbing on them to see and hear better. But let's see. They're made of metal.
Please move away from the towers. The lamps might have given us a problem. Everybody who's in the back, please move back. Please move back. We have to get away from these towers. Go slowly, but move back. We'll come back when it's all over. Please move away from the towers.
Hear the rain starting to pick up. Hear the...
Everybody just sit down. We'll have to ride it out. Please come down off those towers, gentlemen. Put the mic stands down on the floor. Cover all the equipment. Come on. Let's keep it nice and cool. We'll be back with Country Joe in just a second as soon as we can get set up. Okay, so come on down off the towers.
Hear the hum?
Can you guys hear the hum and stuff?
Hey, if you think really hard, maybe we can stop this rain. Yeah. All right, everybody sit down. It's cool. It's wet. Please move away from the towers. Please move away from the towers. Jody, get off the stage. Get off the stage. The wind is blowing this way. Please be on this side of the towers. Everyone in the back, please move back. Just take it calm and easy.
Now, with all that wind...
I see it. Please move away from the towers.
How well do you think condensers would be faring in these particular conditions?
What? I asked Steve. I don't know. I think the wind's running through it, sorry.
Adam says not at all, yeah, pretty much.
Please move away from the towers. In the back, please.
And with all that rain.
Give us some room. Go slowly.
So what do you think's being used if condensers...
Just move away from those towers. We don't want one of those lamps to be blown. Please.
Lots and lots of dynamic.
That's it. Everybody just help get away from the towers and clear them. And look up. Like Barry says, let's think hard to get rid of it, please.
There's a problem with this no rain chance.
This part's funny.
Keep thinking it. Keep your eyes on those towers. It's got to blow through. Try to keep yourself comfortable. And keep an eye on the towers.
Hey, cut the power up here, all right?
Where? Where? All right, we're going to have to turn on some
lights. Yeah, and on that goes for a while. Needless to say.
Derek, you're distorting a bit.
Yeah, I fixed it. Yeah, and so that goes on for a bit. And needless to say...
It sounds like they're going to explode.
Yeah. Condensers? No, I wouldn't think
that's
not.
So much.
All
Yeah, that's a little clip of Woodstock. Dynamic versus condenser. I know there are other microphone types like ribbons and various things like that, but we'll get to some of the other microphone types in study group. But it's very important that you guys understand mic preamps, dynamics, and condensers, because for the most part, those are the things you're going to experience. Those are the things you're going to use or want for most applications. Now, a wrinkle in these microphones is their pickup pattern. What is a pickup pattern? Can anyone guess just based on the word?
It's the shape in which the sound is, simply how it picks up the sound.
The sensitive part of the microphone, or the active parts.
That's right. So, the three major pickup patterns, and I know there are more than these, but the three that are most crucial to know are cardioid, figure eight, and omnidirectional. Cardioid microphone is got a heart-shaped pickup pattern. So, on the front of the microphone, there is a center point, which is very sensitive, and if you move off to the side of that point, the sensitivity drops way off, and thus the sound that it picks up drops way off. So this is a cardioid microphone. If I talk to the side of this microphone,
I've literally moved a few inches, and I'm talking off to the side of this microphone. So, yeah. Hi. How you doing?
Pretty big volume difference, would you say? Now, with something like one of the microphones that Jessica has, she can demonstrate a very interesting phenomenon that's associated with cardioid microphones called proximity effect. And that is the tendency for the low and sometimes the high end to be exaggerated when something is close to it.
So I'm going to kind of demo two varying types of proximity effect here. So I have this pop sock on, so this proximity effect isn't as bad right now. But if I were to take it off, here we go, and I were to talk into this microphone and have it close to my mouth, can you guys kind of hear the difference that this Sennheiser finally gives me when I speak into it? What can you guys hear?
I was hearing a more bass quality and almost like a high-end kind of metallic maybe sort of quality.
Adam, what do you hear?
Lots of breath, a little exaggerated breath. That might work good if you were doing a 900 number or something.
It's, yeah, like you can hear just everything sort of forced up. You can hear the lower frequencies more. I have another microphone.
Don't worry about the breath so much because she took the pop sock off. That's not part of proximity effect itself.
I have another microphone that demonstrates proximity effect even more. So this is an Audio-Technica ATR-2100 without anything on it and very close to my face. And has very much lots of proximity effect because I have it very close to my face.
Do you want to back off a bit for a comparison?
Yes, I can back off a bit for a comparison. I no longer have it close to my face. It is kind of off to the side, and now it's kind of in front of me, but still kind of further away, and now it's back over here and right in front of my face.
See how the bass rockets up?
Proximity effect is sometimes very useful. If you're singing in live situations, it's kind of cool because, you know, you have your band playing really loud, right? So you want to eat the microphone for certain kinds of microphones. If you're singing and you're recording, though, you may not want to do that so much. And so you may want to kind of sing with the mic a bit further away or bring it closer, but then, you know, equalize it later if it's too much. So that's my little demo on proximity effect.
And to reinforce this, this microphone is a Rode M5. Rode M5s are cardioid microphones. They're small diaphragm condensers. They're basically electrets as well. Most electret condenser microphones, though, guys, to be fair, plug into devices with eighth-inch inputs. So like your omnidirectional microphones that you may wear as binaural microphones, those kinds of things are electrets, and they plug into your recorder with an eighth-inch input. So when you see microphones that have an eighth-inch connector on them, chances are, especially if they're very small microphones, that they are electret, and they are omnidirectional, which we'll talk about in a bit. But this is an instrument mic. Now, how does this sound? This sounds pretty good for a vocal, doesn't it? Like, you could probably get away with talking on this thing. You could probably get away with doing a voiceover, I would think. What do you guys think? Do you like it? What do you think of Yield M5s?
Sounds good.
Well, here's why this is an instrument microphone and not a vocal microphone. Because if I get into this and I actually use it more than 2 feet away from my face, we have not only some proximity effect, but it is very sensitive to wind noise, to plosives and popping peas and things. Now, this would actually be made worse if I turn the compression off so that it's not limited in its frequency response. So this is popping peas. See how obvious that is?
Wow.
That's pretty obvious. Now, it's just the limiting stage that's keeping this from clipping totally. So we're going to put that back on. So yeah, that is complementing Jessica's demo of proximity effect with demonstrating vocal versus instrument microphones as well. Great in stereo, though, because they're very directional. And so if you have two of them spaced in a very specific way, you can get a very nice image of a room. If I move off to one side of this microphone, for example, that's all I've done is just move off to one side. You can hear that the volume, compared to this, drops off dramatically. So
now, who noticed from the other microphone that he used before, because we're still talking about cardioid patterns, who noticed that kind of the cardioid pattern of that particular microphone was a bit wider?
The CAD M177 from the beginning. That was the first condenser I used. Notice how you could still hear pretty much a lot of things that went on in the room. I could go back to it if you like.
Well, even with those small M5s, it was wider than your Shure.
Yeah.
So if you have a mic with a particularly narrow cardioid pattern, you know, you'll sometimes go way off track. And, you know, if you have a wider one, even if you go off track a bit, you can still hear quite a bit. So it just depends on
correct,
you know, how narrow or wide your pattern is. So, yeah.
I'm going to go back to the Shure because it's cardioid. And actually, no. I'll go to an omnidirectional microphone. Let's do that. Omnidirectional. Which you've actually already heard. I have three of them, actually, to be fair. Hang on. Let's go to one. Okay, here we go. The measurement microphone. We're back to this guy. All right. Dayton Audio EMM6. It is an omnidirectional microphone, which means that I am in front of it and I'm off to the side of it. I'm talking sort of behind it a little bit. And apart from the distance, I'm just moving this thing around and I'm holding it out in front of me as I move this thing around. And as you can tell, even if I point it away from me, you're getting a lot of what little noise there is in this room. You're going to get a fair bit of it. And that's an omnidirectional pickup pattern. It picks up everything from everywhere. Omnidirectional pickup patterns, because they are wider in scope, do not suffer from proximity effect. And so you can actually get close to them. And of course, the volume's going to come way up, but not much else is going to change. But of course, you still wouldn't want to use omnidirectional microphones for everything because of the fact that anything that happens in my house, it's going to be picked up. Because this is omnidirectional. These are great for interviews. These are, well, not this particular microphone. It's a measurement mic that would die in, like, reporter conditions. But one mic that is very good for interviews is the EV635A. And the EV635A, you've probably heard on everything. If you've listened to the news anywhere from 1963 forward, chances are sometime in your life you'll have heard the omnidirectional microphone, which is a dynamic, which is the EV635A, which I will now switch to. Okay. Now, some of you may find the sound of this microphone kind of boring. It's not bright. It does not have a lot of low end either. But what it is rugged. So, I'm moving this around. I'm very close to it. I'm far away from it. And apart from the volume changes, can you tell that the pickup is pretty even? Who agrees that the pickup of this is pretty even as I move it around? I, for some reason, I'm not seeing chat. I don't know why I'm not seeing chat. But anyway.
Weird. But basically, everyone's agreeing.
Okay. But, you know, the recording can't see chat either, so that's another thing to consider. And this mic being a dynamic, people have claimed that this is a non-destructible microphone. And I've read stories of this microphone being drugged behind broadcast vans for miles because people think they have everything thoroughly secured in their van and they don't. And people have used these to drive nails just to show that they're non-destructible, or practically. But yeah, this is kind of your older field microphone because an omnidirectional microphone, you can point at anything. If you're generally facing the direction, it's going to pick it up. So who from based on what I said could name some disadvantages of omnidirectional microphones, even though they don't have proximity effect?
Go ahead, Clement.
You might get a lot of, for lack of a better word, extra crap that you might not want, because if you're pointing it in a direction and it picks up everything that's in that general area, you're going to get a lot of that's in the proximity of the direction you're pointing it in, but not necessarily coming from the source that you want.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, you'll get everything from everywhere. So, you know, if you're trying to do something and you're trying to get a specific noise or sing even, if you try to do it in an omnidirectional mic, especially in a room that might not be treated or something like that, that omnidirectional mic is going to pick up everything and its mom.
Even now, I'm using omnidirectional, if anyone can tell. And when I use this, sometimes it picks up stuff from outside of my room that I'm not necessarily looking for, like stuff outside my window.
Christian had a question, and then Damien.
How does multi-pattern mic knows? I know that it has this switch from, for example, cardioid to figure eight and such, but how does it basically work? Does it power just some portions of the membrane, or?
Give us just a minute, because we haven't talked about figure eight yet. So I appreciate the question. It's a very good question, but it's one that will be answered.
And Damien.
So would an omnidirectional mic be good for recording, for example, machine noises that come from inside a machine that you're not particularly going to open up to get the noise from?
Could be.
If I could grab this question.
Yeah, go for it.
Sound designers don't tend to use omnidirectional microphones that I am aware of. What you want to do is you're always going to want some kind of rejection when you're doing sound, because you're unlikely to be recording in a completely silent environment other than the noise that you want to record. So what you would use a general purpose stereo microphone, or two microphones configured such that they record in stereo. If you wanted to record an ambience, if you wanted to record the machine, you would want to record just the machine, so you would use a cardioid microphone, or what's called a shotgun microphone, which is like a cardioid on steroids, basically, and it rejects more things from the side and from behind it, so you just get the thing that you want to record. It's a very tightly focused microphone. Think of sonic tunnel vision, the audio equivalent of. So I've not seen any applications where sound designers would use an omnidirectional microphone, really. If you want to record sound all around, you're going to want to record where it is in the stereo field, usually.
Austin is correct there, but there are very specific stereo applications that we will discuss, not now. Don't worry, we're not going to throw much more on you. I promise! No.
Study group.
Yes, we're going to talk about specialized microphones and stereo recording in study group. And I think you guys will find that one a fun deal. Lots of things to play with and teach and learn about, and things there, too. So, there's a pickup pattern between cardioid and omnidirectional microphones. And it's called figure eight. And it is where both sides, remember we talked about side address microphones, where the side of it is what you talk into, big wedge-shaped thing, you talk into that as opposed to the end, like you would with most mics. Well, figure eight is where both sides of the microphone pick up audio, but the top and the narrower sides of the microphone do not. So if you are in front of this mic or behind it, it will pick you up. But if you are off to the side, not happening. So if, for example, you are sitting at a table and you're talking to someone and you're in a crowded room, you could use a figure eight microphone to pick them up and yourself as well and reject all the noises around you. Is that one microphone to pick up both people and within reason reject everything else. Now, to Christian's question, and to wrap all this up in a nice package, there are multi-pattern condenser microphones that exist that can switch from cardioid to figure eight to omnidirectional. Microphones generally have dual diaphragms. So they have two diaphragms in them. And for cardioid, the one diaphragm is powered. And for figure eight and omnidirectional, the other one kicks in.
I wish I still had my Yeti to show this, because it had four patterns. It had cardioid, omni, figure eight, and it had a stereo pattern, which I guess maybe put both of the diaphragms in a cardioid pattern. I don't know how that worked.
Generally, yeah, something like that, where you have two mics that are closely spaced, but yet you still get a stereo image. You have either any number of formations that creates, but generally, I would think some sort of AB or ORTF. So I hope that answers your questions. I hope that makes you think about different microphones and their applications and things.
Damien had a question.
Yeah, this whole thing is now kind of blowing my mind. I'm getting really confused now as to what are different mics and what are different patterns and what to listen out for and what not to listen out for.
Well, basically, we talked about two mic types, dynamic and condenser, with the subtypes of condenser being regular and standard condenser and Electret. Then we talked about three pickup patterns, cardioid, figure eight, and omnidirectional, with cardioid being the most narrow with proximity effect as a possibility, figure eight, basically two cardioids with a hole in the middle, pretty much, and omnidirectional microphones picking up everything from everywhere.
So, microphone type defines how a microphone works. How does it convert the vibrating air into electrical signals which your device can store? Microphone pickup pattern defines the sensitivity of the mic. What sound does it pick up in the way that it picks it up?
And from where?
Microphone type is how. Microphone pickup is what and from where. And it's a combination of those two factors that are going to decide what microphone you want for your particular type of work.
Got it. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Adam?
Yeah, I had a question concerning the entrance exam we took for this class here. There was a question about microphone and pickup patterns with some multiple choices with some alphabet soup. I wonder if you could explain the representation of what those letters refer to in terms of these pickup patterns.
C study group.
Oh, you're talking about the XY one. Yeah.
Yeah, C study group.
Study group.
Yeah. I can promise you TV and TTY have nothing to do with microphones. That was just bogus to mess with people.
And HAT.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't there an AH or something like that? And I guess are we going to vote on study group, or is that Thursday? Or well, I guess we'll get to that.
But what we will get to right now is Justin wants to, and we'll do a bit of a talk on microphone accessories. Yeah, you have microphones, but without certain accessories, they're going to get really annoying to use.
Yep.
I have 5 minutes. Do people want me to do this now, or are people happy to go later, or do people want me to do this for study group?
Personally, I think study group's better because my mind's getting woo.
Study group as well.
Okay, guys, well, what I want to say about the study group then is generally, as a rule, study group covers supplementary content only. That is to say, they're not compulsory and you could get by without knowing stuff, but there is stuff for your ongoing assignments throughout this module and other stuff that you really need to know that we haven't covered. So do please all try and make the study group / pick up the podcast.
Yeah, if you can't come to the study groups, it's fine. But this study group and the study group next week are compulsory listens, at least. You may not need an interface, but you may not know that. So, and that's, you know, next week. So we're going to talk a lot about those kinds of things. You may not need some of these accessories. You may not need to know about some of these audio recordings. But again, you may not know that. So these are compulsory listens if you can at least show up. Christian had one quick question before we dismiss.
Was there any attempt to develop kind of a combination of condenser's mic's sensitivity and rigidity of dynamic mic? So kind of condenser mic, which has the housing as strong as dynamic mic, which could stand.
I forgot the term, but there are a couple of dynamic microphones that have recently been released, which basically have the amplification guts of condensers. So yeah, you've got the capacitance part of the condenser microphone, but the actual electronics that do a bit of amplification before you hit your preamp exist. And so you have the amplification of a condenser and the characteristics of the dynamic, because essentially that's how those two work. There are some dynamics that are sensitive enough to give you detail, like this one, but at the price of having to turn your preamp really, really, really high. And so if you don't have a good preamp, then you're not going to get a very good sound, because then you're going to run into a lot of noise. Just as a tip, just as a random piece of information, the SM7B was used by Michael Jackson on Thriller. And I figure if Bruce Swedeen likes this mic, it's, you know, pretty cool. Michael Jackson, Quincy Jones, Bruce Swedeen, and several other recording artists, including Whitney Houston, enjoy the use of this mic. I thought, well, heck, that's got to be pretty cool. So I have one. And I hope it has shown you the kind of extremes in that dynamics can be sensitive, but at a price.
So Des had a question. Monica had a question real quick, though, because some people have to go. I want to go ahead and give the assignment. Might have modified it a little bit because we haven't described for some people. Ultimately, we want you to research what you think you might need as well as what you have. So we want you, at least right now, to tell us what you think you have. But ultimately, what we want to know is what you might need for the applications that you're working in. But in order for you to know that, you need to research that. And, you know, you might want to consult us or your audio lists that you are on for references as to, you know, what they use, what the pros might use, what whoever might use in order to make, you know, record what it is that they're recording or capture there is what's, you know, they're capturing or whatever. So the first part of your assignment is to tell us what microphones you think you have. And
in terms of type and pickup pattern.
Right. And the later part of the assignment that you kind of turn in possibly sometime next week is what you think you would want, you would need based on your research and based on the help you've gotten from others for your applications to come to fruition.
The best way that I would recommend to do this assignment would be to go away now and by Thursday study group have written down but not necessarily submitted all the microphones that are in your house, what you think they are, best guess. So your mobile mics, your field recorder mics, etc. Then on the study group, we'll have filled in the blanks, told you a few applications of common microphone types and pickup patterns, and you will know what you want to do with the knowledge that you get from this course. So by next Monday, you can do assignment part two, whereby you can start. And if you struggle, that's fine. But we hope that everyone will have started interacting with us by next Monday about the type of mics that would be good for them in their budget for their field. This method of work that I've suggested will work particularly well for those of you who haven't done your last week's assignment yet to kind of clear your backlog as quickly and effectively as possible.
Damien?
How are we supposed to know what type of mics they are? Like, for example, if they're internal mics?
Well,
back
that's
to the lecture.
Yeah.
See what it's... we've suggested. We'll have given indicators. If you don't know, Google is your friend, and we'll tell you if you Googled wrong.
And okay, I'm going to switch to a mic I haven't used, and I'm just going to move it around and play with it and see if you can guess what kind of microphone it is, what pickup pattern. All right. So, well, the condenser part's obvious. Let's turn that down. All right. There. That's a thing. All right, so I'm moving this microphone around, and I'm hanging out, and it's next to my face, and I'm backing off of it, and I'm moving it off to the side and back to the other side. And stuff like that. So based on that kind of thing, what pickup pattern would you say this microphone has?
Cardioid.
Correct. Because we've got some proximity effect going on here, and we've got some serious directionality going on over here.
What is that?
That is an Audix drum overhead microphone.
Oh.
I've never used this one in class before. In fact, I forgot about it.
But if it's internal, how do you know? Because obviously, if I was just to press record on a device and then speak into it, I wouldn't know, for example, the type of microphone it was.
Maybe, but...
Run those same tests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Run those same tests.
Microphone
so
around.
If you've got a mobile, wave it in front of your face. See if it is responsive to proximity effect.
Hello! Microphone in front of my face. Yeah, that.
Now, there are some microphones that are sort of controversial, and the reason I say that is because, like, we were for a while all trying to figure out if earpods were omnidirectionals but kind of crappy or just really...
wide cardioids.
Cardioids. So we can understand if you kind of run into that situation with some of your microphones.
Some manufacturers take omnidirectional capsules but squish them into enclosures that shut the back and sides off and seal those away so that, yeah, it's an omnidirectional capsule, but the only thing that works is the front headset mics.
As a matter of fact,
isn't that
how your BMCs are? Because your shirt cuts off the back, right?
Your neck or your shirt or your whatever, your face or your whatever. But we'll talk about binaural and quasi-binaural and Jeklin discs and MS and ORTF and XY and crap like that in study group. So,
yeah, because I'm thinking
Thursday.
Thursday at 6 seems to work best for, well, Thursday at 1 Eastern seems to work best for the majority of students, which is kind of a shame for the people that can't make the core lectures, honestly. We should probably look at alternative times, particularly when concurrent lectures start, but that seems to work best.
So I'm going back to the SM7 now, because...
Yeah, I'd appreciate that.
I have a question. You were saying to test out our...
Even in study group, honestly.
You were saying to test out our microphones by recording something. What would I use on my computer to just do simple recordings?
Well, if you have Goldwave.
If you already use Goldwave and have it, use Goldwave.
Yeah.
Or any kind of audio editing application, really.
I mean, worst case scenario, you go into TeamTalk on a server like this one when nobody's on the server, and you record in TeamTalk, just like you would record the class. And you just test stuff and play that back. There's also an audio test function in TeamTalk under its preferences, and that's a real-time thing, and you can listen, though it's slightly delayed, to what your mic's picking up, and you can be like, you know, and just experiment with it.
You can also do what's called subscribing or unsubscribing to yourself, which is basically hearing kind of a loopback of yourself, and you can do that by going to your name, but make sure you're on your name, and press Control and the number 4. And you will hear yourself back until you press it again to make it go away.
Hope that helps. Now, Mike picked up the bell. It is. Oh, yeah. Now, most microphones, you know, no mic existed picking up most of this music because it was electronically generated. That bell was mic'd up, though, but by what? Who knows? I wasn't there. I didn't do it.
What do people think, though? Like, you have a really loud bell. You want to mic it quite close so you don't get too much background noise. What mic do you think would be best for loud sounds?
I'm guessing a dynamic.
That's absolutely right, Damien. And being as you said you were struggling with this stuff, that's really
well
done.
Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah. Props.
And that was a pure guess as well.
In a one-sentence thing, dynamic mics, better for loud things. Guns, explosions, brass band concerts, bells, alarms. Dynamics,
and live vocals,
better.
Actually.
You can still use condensers. Pardon?
And live vocals. A lot of people use dynamic mics for live vocals.
Or placed in front of a very loud guitar amp, like a tube amp, and getting some natural sounds for a blues player, some garage band kind of really good rock sounds out of an amp.
Now, there are some condensers that are made for that. Like, I had borrowed one for my cousin. I didn't this year because we didn't have time. But Shure makes a condenser that is for guitars and guitar amps, and it sounds horrible on my voice. Oh my god, it's horrid.
It sounds even worse on mine.
Oh, it's really bad. Sounds cool in front of his guitar amp, though. So mic's built for purpose and all that. You know, you wouldn't want to, if somebody was playing the finger cymbals, you wouldn't want to use a 57. I mean, I guess you could, but...
So sometimes it just depends what you want to use. I find myself right now needing to buy a condenser, which I'm looking into, because I find condensers sit well on top of harmonies for a lead vocal, because they're brighter and more up front, generally speaking. So, you know, it just depends, you know, what with mics, as we said, what applications you're trying to use them for.
I've recommended to her to get the CAD M177 or M179 because they're like $150 and they're multi-pattern mic. They do cardioid, figure eight, and omni. The Rode NT1 is, I think, another $100, and it's just cardioid, but it is wider cardioid and it's cleaner, but the self noise in the CAD is ridiculously it's ridiculously small. Like, it really is. The M series has got a very low noise.
When we say different mics for different applications, we're not joking. I own a book where a guy recommends a mic to pick for recordings where the mic might get blown up, where it might be damaged by where you're putting it and what you use it for. So, yeah, different mics for different tasks is definitely a thing.
I like contact mics for really random things, but we'll play with those maybe in study group.